Good morning. Please rise for the gospel reading this morning. I'll be reading from John chapter 14, verses 8 through 14, 8 through 17, sorry. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we shall be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, in fact, and will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor know him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you." The second lesson is from Acts. Acts 2, chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they ask, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, the visitors of Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and the Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All of these were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. None of this is what was spoken. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
After listening to her final sermon at Glenmar last week, I said to Mandy Sayers, I sure don't envy whoever has to preach next. Now, since I'm the one in charge of making out the preaching schedule, I could have assigned someone else. But when the countdown clock on my dresser says 21 days until retirement, the phrase final four takes on a different meaning. So I have 4 Sundays remaining in which to try to share with you something of the essence of what I've learned during 43 years in ministry. This particular Sunday is really a gift because one of the things that I would have wanted to share is really captured in the message of this day of Pentecost and the story that Beth just read for us. It's a dramatic story by any measure, and it occurred long before the time of special effects. One can only imagine what it must have been like to have been in Jerusalem and experienced that mighty wind and the tongues of fire over the heads of the apostles. But it seems to me that the most remarkable part of that story is the fact that every person who was there heard the gospel in a language they understood. No matter where they came from, no matter what language they spoke, everyone heard and understood the message of Jesus and God's love. Now, if you count up the number of different places people came from, and this is one of those tests for lay readers every year, because of the nearly unpronounceable names of the different countries and regions of the known world at that time. But if you count up just that number, let alone assuming that people came from lots of other places to Jerusalem, they had come from all over the world, from more countries, speaking more languages than there were apostles. There were only 11 apostles who were given this gift of speaking, and yet people from dozens of countries, speaking dozens of languages, all heard the same message. Something miraculous was going on here. What the scripture says to us is this. It says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. But it seems to me that the apostles could not have been speaking in just one or two or three languages. Whatever they were saying, it enabled people from all over the world speaking many different languages to hear and understand the message of God's love. Now, the people who heard this were, as the scripture says, bewildered. It also says they were astonished and amazed and perplexed, and one can only imagine how confused they must have been by these events. How could this be, they asked. And it's a question we might well ask ourselves today, too. How do all kinds of people from all different walks of life all hear the same story of Jesus and God's love? Well, what becomes clear here is that the apostles were given the spiritual gift of what later came to be called tongues, so that others could hear and understand the good news of God's love. The apostles were given this gift so that everyone could hear and understand the good news of God's love. This was only the first example of what came to be called spiritual gifts, ways that the Spirit gives people the ability to convey the message of God's love. Now, the apostles did that through preaching, and many of you know that that's not something that you are called to do. What studies indicate is that second to dying, speaking in public is the thing people fear most. And some people fear speaking in public even more than dying. They'd rather die than stand up in front of people and talk. Well, fortunately, that is not the only gift given by the Spirit to help convey the message of God's love in Jesus Christ. If we turn in the writings of Paul there are at least two or three different places where Paul lists some other spiritual gifts. For instance, in the 12th chapter of Romans, Paul mentions prophecy, teaching, giving, leading, showing mercy, having compassion. If we turn to the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, we find that spiritual gifts include things like wisdom, like faith, like working of miracles, like healing, like humor, like music, like listening and caring. All different kinds of gifts given by the Spirit. But here's the key, and we learn this from the story of that first Pentecost and the first gift of being able to speak in these many languages. The purpose of all spiritual gifts is to help others learn about God's love. See, the apostles weren't given this ability to speak in different languages, and let's bear in mind here, this was instantaneous. This was not the result of them taking a course. They didn't have Berlitz or Rosetta Stone. One minute they could only speak one language, the next minute they could speak others. This was a gift that was given to them, and it wasn't given to them for the purpose of enabling them to pass a test or to get into school or to impress people. It was given for the specific, unique purpose of helping other people learn about God's love. And the same thing is true of every spiritual gift. No matter what one's gift is, whether it's preaching or teaching, whether it's healing, whether it's acts of compassion, whether it's helping, all those gifts come from the same place, from the Holy Spirit, and all are given for the same purpose, to help others learn about God's love. Now, the really beautiful thing here is that part of God's plan for the church is to equip lots of different people with lots of different gifts. Everyone in the church, every child of God, has been given one or more spiritual gifts. Now, we live in one of the most affluent, well-educated counties in this country and in the world. And what I've experienced and observed, and several teachers have confirmed this to me, is that in Howard County, Maryland, probably 90 to 95% of the parents believe that their children are gifted and talented. Maybe it's 100%. And that their children ought to be enrolled, ought to be identified as gifted and talented and enrolled in gifted and talented programs. In reality, only at most 20 to 25% of the children in Howard County are identified as gifted and talented and enrolled in gifted and talented programs. But here's the key. In the church, 100% of God's children are gifted and talented. Not with the kinds of talents that necessarily will help them to do well in school or get good scores on tests or even to get a good job and make lots of money, but gifted and talented in ways that help other people learn how much God loves them. Every single person, every one of you, everybody is gifted and talented, having received gifts from God's Spirit, so that through our use of our gifts, other people can learn how much God loves them. And what's important here is that we all have different gifts because people receive the message of God's love in different ways. One might say, through different languages. Now, this kind of crystallized for me when I read a little book that's really designed for husbands and wives. Some of you may have read it. The book is called The Five Love Languages. In this book, the author makes the point that not everyone gets the awareness that they are loved the same way. Each of us receives that message, that awareness that someone loves us through what he calls different languages, and he identifies five of them. Words of affirmation are one of the love languages. Quality time, time spent together. Gifts, flowers, candy, a gift certificate to the golf course. Well, I'm equal time here, you know. The ladies want flowers and candy. The men would appreciate a gift. Not that I'm suggesting anything with Father's Day. Let's see, where was I here? Okay. Words of affirmation, quality time, gifts, acts of service. You know, take out the garbage, do the dishes, things like that. And then the fifth is physical touch, displays of affection. But here's the key. Not everyone gets the message that they are loved in the same way. And I want to share with you from our experience, and I have my wife's permission to share this, how this can work. Early on in our marriage, because I had grown up in a home in which love was expressed a certain way, I was deeply in love with my wife and was trying to convey that to her through acts of service. I would do things like clean the house, wash the dishes, go shopping, all as my way of trying to say to Joan how much I loved her. She was wanting quality time. And so the more I did, the more frustrated she got because I was spending all my time doing the dishes, going shopping, and not spending any time with her. So as we still do this after 44 years of marriage, we were talking past each other. Not speaking the same language. Well, the same thing is true when it comes to God's love. Not everyone receives God's love in the same way. And our spiritual gifts represent the love languages of the gospel. Our spiritual gifts represent the love languages of the gospel, the way people hear and become aware that God loves them. Now, some people hear the good news through preaching and teaching. But lots of other people receive the good news through acts of compassion and caring. And some receive the good news of God's love for them through a meal in times of family crisis or grief. Or a helping hand when they can't keep going. Some receive the good news when someone simply listens to them and cares about them. And others get it through being encouraged or challenged to do their best. So it's not just people like me who have gifts of teaching, who stand up front and speak, but it's every one of us who communicates the news in ways that help some person know how much God loves them. When you go to prepare a meal at the carpenter's kitchen or repair a home through Habitat for Humanity, when you go on a mission trip to Hurley or to the Bahamas, when you greet people at the door of the church, when you prepare and serve a meal to a family that's mourning the death of a loved one, in all these different ways that we use the gifts that God has given us, we are helping other people to learn how much God loves them. No one of us with our particular gifts can reach everyone. But all of us functioning together in the way God designed can reach nearly everyone with the good news of Jesus and God's love. If I've learned anything in 43 years of ministry, it is that every one of God's children is gifted and talented. And when we use our gifts, others are not only able to hear about God's love, but to experience it through us and through our use of the gifts that God has given us. When we use our gifts, others are able to experience the love of God. We each have different gifts, but we all have them. They are all given by the same Spirit, and they are all given for the same purpose, so that through us, others may know how much God loves them. For that purpose, you are gifted and talented. Amen.